like you.
Before Brother Joe starts preaching, we have some guests right now, Brother Corey and his wife. But what I want to talk to him, ask him, could you give us a report on Brother Joe?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. We were going to ask if you do that before we left. Joe went through surgery fine. He went to a private room yesterday. Real well, considering the type of surgery that they did. They were able to remove the tumors, and so by now everything is good.
Let's put it this way: he was ready to get out of the bed the day after the surgery, so that's what he was complaining about. I need to get out of this bed, so he's going to be fine.
That's always a good sign when they want to go home. Good to see y'all again, brother, sister. Sure is. Been a while.
Thank you for praying for us last year. We really appreciated you very, very much.
Seemed like all the prayers worked, didn't it? We're thankful for prayer. And just knowing people love you that much that they're praying for you means so much. And like Larry was saying, I did get a phone call this morning about 7:30. and Dale told me they were, needed to go south. So the last time I talked to him, he was in Jackson, headed toward the coast. So y'all keep him in prayers, him and Tina, as they are going there to see his aunt, who is on hospice. So he just said he felt in his heart he needed to go. And I said, brother, that's what you need to do. The Lord leads you to do something, do it. And he'll take care of everything else. But you do what God puts on your heart. But as we get started this morning, we know that out today on this Sunday morning, there are people all over the country. And you know what they're looking for? Happiness. And they're searching in all the wrong places for the right solution. And what they're looking for is something physical to satisfy their physical desires. But you know what? You have what they're looking for. We have what they're looking for. They're out there looking somewhere, but we know who our Redeemer is, and we know that happiness comes because of a right relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's because we're able to fulfill the will of God while we're here on this earth. So happiness for the Christian is doing the will of God, and that's what brings us joy. And there is victory for the Christian. And a lot of times we don't feel like we have the victory, but we do. And we realize that joy comes from having the victory in our life. I want you to look, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to look at verse 11 and 12. Philippians 4. And you know where this was written, don't you? It's in jail. So when Paul makes these statements, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's not just pulling it out of the sky or it's a good thought, but he knows because he has experienced going through and losing everything and yet having everything. There are those that have many things, but they lack the one thing. And one day they will have nothing. But if we have the one thing, we have everything. And everything is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we realize you may not have much. I may not have much as the way the world sees wealth today. But if you have Christ, you got everything. That's all that's going to matter one day. When we breathe our last breath, nothing else is going to matter but that we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Amen. Anything physical, it's gone. It can't help you. Any people you know, they can't help you anymore. Because he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? That's right. Thou art with me. And if he's not with you when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are in trouble. Amen. Because you know where those are headed. I'm not going to say where you're headed because you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. I hope everybody in here does. But look what it says in verse 11. of chapter 4 of Philippians. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Wasn't just automatic, was it? He learned this. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. You see, the Apostle Paul was content in his physical state because of his spiritual state. He could say this, and he meant it with all his heart, because he was content because of his spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God always puts the emphasis on the vertical first and the horizontal second? I mean, you take the great two commandments in the Bible to what? Not love your neighbor as yourself first, right? No, that's second. It's second because first we have to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. But we can't unless we love God first. And it's just like the Old Testament. We go to the Ten Commandments, and the first four have to do with the vertical. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, is what he said. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything, the likeness thereof, the heaven above, the earth beneath, the water beneath the earth. I mean, all of these things are pertaining to that vertical relationship with God. And then it goes to the others about our relationship with man. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Those all have to do with the physical. And God knows that if we got this one right, we will get this one right. And so it's always the spiritual over the physical. Physical is always secondary. But many today think, if I can get all the things in this life physical, then I'll be spiritually happy. It does not work that way. And you got a world full of people right now, some Christians, that are looking for physical things, health and wealth, and right relationships, and they say, then I have a right relationship with the Lord. Nuh-uh. No, you won't, because God will see to it you won't have all those things, because he wants you to be right with him first and foremost. That's why the Apostle Paul could say these things, and they came straight from his heart. And it was real to him. And you know what? This morning, we should be able to say the same thing. I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I can be abased or abound, and yet still know that I am content in my heart because of that relationship. It says in Matthew 16 to 26, for what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. Doesn't profit anything if he loses his soul. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. That's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. So we see these things are what? They're opening up an avenue to see where truly our joy comes from. It's not a happiness, because happiness is dependent on happenstance. If everything's going my way, then I'm happy. That's the way of the world. That's not the way of the Christian. But for us, that joy comes from having the victory and being in the will of God. We can have the many things and not have the one thing, and those many things will come to nothing. But if we have the one thing, then the one thing will mean everything one day. There was a man who left out to conquer Mount Everest. A true story. He left behind a wife that was pregnant, soon to have a child. But he had to conquer Mount Everest. It was something that he wanted to do. Why? Why do a lot of people try to do things like conquer Mount Everest? It's to find their thing. If I can do this, then I'll find what I've been looking for all my life. And you know what happened? Mount Everest conquered him. And he didn't come back. Left behind a wife who no longer had a husband. Left behind a child that was soon born. Didn't have a daddy. Why? Because he was searching for something. He didn't know what it was, but he was looking for something to bring contentment. Listen to this, if you will. according to New Testament wisdom and of Hebrew wisdom, until we are rightly related to God, we will always be cruel to other men. Take it in the matter of love. If I am not related to God first, my love becomes cruel because I demand infinite satisfaction from the one I love. I demand from a human being what he or she can never give. There is only one being who can satisfy the last aching abyss of the human heart, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Drink deep and full of the love of God, and you will not demand the impossible from earth's love. And the love of wife and children, of husband and friend, will grow holier and healthier, or simpler and grander. As long as people are looking for something in the world to satisfy the longing of an eternal being that's going to live forever in glory, they'll never find it on this earth. Only Christ can fill that spot. And once we have found it, yes, we're sitting here this morning because of our spiritual desire to please God and to worship God and to know God more intimately. We're here fulfilling what God has called us to do. He said, fail not to assemble yourselves. That's what God said to do. We do it because of the fellowship, but also the teaching, the preaching, and also to be able to be able soldiers to go out into a world and preach the gospel to every creature. It may be that you're a witness to those that you work with, those you're around, but you're doing the will of God when you leave this place, and that's what your ministry is to be a light in the world and salt of the earth. And you know that. That's what you're on this earth for. It's not to find happiness. You already got it. It's inside, no matter what's going on physically with your body or those you love. You got joy that can't be taken away. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I, in like manner, like this man that was looking to be able to conquer Mount Everest, I also did the same thing years ago before I knew Christ. And I was looking for that adrenaline rush, you know, trying to find that excitement, knowing that there was something that I could find that would make me happy. And it did temporarily. And then what happened? It ran out of gas. It couldn't do what only God could do. I went from A to Z, just like this man. And just, I'm thankful for the grace of God that I didn't lose my life in doing it, because I could have easily have like him. And so some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You were doing the same thing, and you know that that's a dead-end street, isn't it? That you can't find what is spiritual in the physical realm. Being created with both flesh and spirit, earthly things cannot satisfy the longing within for God to fulfill his rightful place within our heart. No human being ever remains the same day by day. If a person doesn't know Jesus Christ, then they're spiraling downward. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It's just always a downward spiral for those that are living in sin. It can't be any other way. But for those who are serving Christ, we're not staying the same either. We're moving upward. Every day as we pursue Christ, I apprehend Christ that I might be apprehended of him. John the Baptist said, what? I must decrease that he might increase. So that's our journey, is that we're moving upward and becoming more like Christ, and we're seeking those things that are of Christ. And that's why we're seeking the spiritual that in here this morning. We're not after the fleshly things. When I pass the casinos coming over here, there's always cars out in that lot, you know. What are they doing? They're looking for something that will satisfy. But they won't find it there. It's not there. It's not out in the fields hunting. It's not out on the lake skiing. Of course, not many people out skiing today, is it? They wouldn't last long. But many people are looking in all these places to find what we already have. There was a man who was called the Pathfinder. You see, a lot of people say, well, there's two paths. No. Nope. There's only one path. All the others are ventures. That's all they are. People are on a venture looking for something. But there's only one path. Jesus said in himself in John 14:6, I am the way. There's only one path. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So all you hear these people say, oh, I'm on a path to do this. No, you're not. You're on a venture. That's all you're on, because it's a dead-end street. But there's only one path. And there was a man called the Pathfinder, and his name was Dr. Livingston. a man who went to Africa to charter courses in order that the missionaries that followed him would have a path to follow, because he didn't have a path to follow. He was called the Pathfinder because he was charting the courses. But he also was a doctor. He had medicine with him. He knew how to treat people. But he was also a missionary. All of these things. And I want to read you something out of the book that was about him. As a young man, Livingston saw a vision in the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been. And he heard a voice saying, "Go, preach the gospel, explore the unknown continent, make disciples, and open a way for the gospel." It seemed an impossible assignment until the voice added, "You will never be alone, and you have nothing to fear. Lo, I am with you all the way." Did the promise hold good? Did the promise ever fail? He was on the bank of the Zambezi River, surrounded by fierce and infuriated savages who threatened to kill him. At any moment, spears might come hurtling through the darkness, or perhaps the attack would come at dawn. Opening his tin box and taking out his Bible, he read a precious passage. Let the story be told in his own words, as found in his journal. January the 14th, 1856. "See, O Lord, how the heathen rise up against me, as they did to thy son. I commit my way unto thee. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy arms I fall. O Jesus, leave me not, forsake me not." You ever pray a prayer like that? I think we've all been there at one time or another. Might not have been afraid of a spear coming through the darkness, but it was something else, wasn't it, that we prayed just as fervently as he did. The journal contains another entry written that night. "Felt much turmoil of spirit in view of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region knocked on the head by savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus came and said, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.' It is the word of a gentleman of the most sacred and strictest honor, so there's an end of it. I shall take observation for latitude and longitude tonight, and though they may be the last, I feel quite calm now. Thank God." What brought him assurance? The word of God. "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." What brings us comfort in the midst of a world that's upside down today? Sometimes our lives seem like they're going every which way. But what brings us comfort? Open up the word of God. "Lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." The same thing that brought Dr. Livingston comfort also brings us comfort. He was halfway across the world from his family. He had brought his family first to Africa, and then one of his sons died. I'm not sure if it's a son or a daughter, but one of his children died, and then his wife got sick, so he took him back home. So he left family to go back over to complete the work that God had given him to do. That's why he could have joy in his heart, even though he was in the midst of fear many times. Sometimes they would steal his medicine, and he wouldn't have medicine to treat his own illness like malaria or dysentery and other things that you get in a place like that. He had a lion almost tear his arm off. He never had right use of that arm again. But did it stop him? You see, he knew what his path was. And that's what it should be for every believer today. We ought to know what our path is. And it is to follow Jesus Christ and to complete the mission that God has for each one of us, to be faithful. As the Apostle Paul said, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing." So we realize, yes, it is a fight. We are in a battle. But we're to keep the faith, and we are to finish the course. No matter how difficult it may seem at times, we know that we're on the right side. We know we're on the right path. Just like David Livingston, he knew he was on the right path. And therefore, whatever happened, he knew who was with him. In Galatians, just turn back a couple pages to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. And then he says in verse 25, well, 24 and 25, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If the spiritual realm has been unveiled to us, we're now to walk in the likeness of Christ on this earth. And he reveals the spiritual realm to every believer, and we no longer are walking in the flesh, but we're walking in the Spirit. And sometimes that becomes a challenge, doesn't it? Because you know what? We still got a sin nature, don't we, that we've got to overcome. And that's an ongoing battle, isn't it? Sometimes it may be patience. Sometimes it may be a temptation. Sometimes it may be unforgiveness. But that flesh is always trying to resurrect itself, isn't it? But we've got to put to death, as he says in verse 24, put to death that flesh, those desires that we have. You see, there's no one in here that's more thankful for the grace of God than I am. I'm going to tell you, because I was on the wrong track, going the wrong road, but God brought me out of that miry clay, and he saved me, washed me, and he cleaned me. So I am so thankful this morning for that grace, because I could have been like that man trying to climb Mount Everest and could have ended on that path and never seen the glory of God, never seen the glory of heaven, never known an intimate relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So this morning I am so thankful for that grace that he has shown to me. God has not called us to be successful, to be healthy or wealthy, but he has proclaimed that we are to be victorious, courageous, and strong through him. That's what our calling is as believers in Jesus Christ. We're to have the victory in Jesus. The Apostle Paul had much, but he lost everything in order that he might apprehend Christ. He was content in his physical state because of his spiritual state. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you how many times I have used this scripture at the hospital when I'm speaking to someone that is very ill and will probably not survive, that their attention might go on the inward man instead of the condition of their outward man at this time. But the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man, that's that flesh body that you're in, perish, yet the inward man, that new man, that new woman, Jesus said what? You must be born again, born of the Spirit. So that spiritual man, that spiritual woman is the one that he's really concerned about, is renewed what? Day by day. In other words, is encouraged, is strengthened day by day through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God living in us. And so we're being refreshed every day. We're being strengthened every day. As we read God's Word, as we pray, as we fellowship, as we come to God's house, we hear the teaching and the preaching, what's happening? The man on the inside, the woman on the inside is getting stronger every day. The outside, the outward man or woman is getting weaker, but the inner one is getting stronger. That's why God wants us to focus on the spiritual person, spiritual things, not physical things, because we focus on physical things, we'll begin to go down. What did Peter do when he was looking at the storm? Down. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he was doing something impossible with man. He was walking on the water. It was only when he looked at the storm. Do you think that won't happen to you and me also? If we just look at the storm, we become overwhelmed. But if we look at Jesus, we'll be able to do that which is impossible with man. He said in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For the things which are seen are what? For we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Things that you can touch right now, guess what? They are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So why do we focus on those things we cannot see? Because we know those are the things that are eternal. They're everlasting. And we can only see them through our spiritual eyes and hear them through our spiritual ears. The only way that you can hear the things of God is those spiritual ears that God has given us. And those spiritual eyes that go far beyond what these people can see. They go far beyond what we would see with the natural eye because they're given of God. Does it make sense that we're the strongest when we're the weakest? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And yet we know that that is the truth. Because it said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And how could that be? Because verse 9, Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we see just the opposite of the way that world looks at things. We see the way Jesus looks at things. And so shouldn't that be the reason that we start looking at things the way Jesus sees them and realize when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And it's because of the power of God that is coming into us. I remember when I was in boot camp at Parris Island. And, of course, boot camp, you run everywhere. And, you know, we were running one day, and we were running, and we were running. And I thought, I cannot do this anymore. See, I was one of the shortest guys. I was on the back of a platoon. Had these old tall guys up front, you know. They'd take one step, and I'd have to take two to their one. And that's no excuse, but I was tired. And I was ready to give up. And I looked around, and nobody else was giving up. And I said, I can't get up. I cannot give up no matter what. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. And you see, we have a spirit also. It's a little S, the spirit of a man or spirit of a woman. And that spirit of a man took over. And what I couldn't do physically, I could do because of that little spirit in me that said, I'm not quitting. When I drop, that's when I quit. But I'm just going to have to give it everything I got. And that's when I experienced something I never experienced before. That second wind. Had never experienced it. But I got it that day. And I was ready to run with the best of them. As long as they wanted to run, I was ready to go. But I found out something that day. I had something in me that I knew nothing about. And that was that little spirit. That if I was determined enough, I could go beyond my physical ability. And you see, it's the same. When the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we see that's how it works. That little allegory there about second wind is what really happens. When we come to the end of ourselves and we say, I can't do it anymore. Lord, you're going to have to help me. He said, I'm right here. It's our way of escape is Him. And so that's a learning experience, isn't it? To learn to just lean on Him no matter what happens to know that He's there for us. And that, guess what? We're going to have the victory. We're going to have a victory because it's victory in Christ. It's not in us. It's not what you can do. It's not what I can do. It's what He has already done. We may even feel defeat sometimes. But, you know, as we take our eyes off of the obstacles that are around us, off of the negative people. Have you ever had negative people in your life that say, oh, you can't do that? You know, just always saying, no, you can't do it. They are what? Not an optimist, but a pessimist. And always saying, you can't do it, you can't do it. Well, sometimes you need to get away from people like that. Start praying and focusing on Jesus Christ and listen to the people that will tell you just the opposite. Those people that are encouraging you, praying for you, and lifting you up and saying you can do it, that's the ones that you need to listen to. Because there is victory in Christ, isn't it? I mean, those of us that have been Christian for a long time, we know there's victory in Christ. When your world turns upside down, just remember, the one who created the world can turn it right side up. He's the only one that can do it, but He can do it. I want you to look at John 15 in verse 1. Some of you already know this is about the vine and the branches. Very important scripture for every believer, though. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of John. I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. abide in me or live in me, stay put in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide where? In me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me you can do something. Not what it says, is it? It says nothing. Zero. Not one thing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and man gathers them and casts them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my works abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. What can we do outside of the vine, which is Christ? Nothing. But what can we do when we're attached to the vine? He said in 8, you will bear much fruit. So when we're attached to that vine, which is Christ, then a manifestation of that vine, which is Christ, what it produces in him will also produce in us. Because we're a branch. We're attached to him. And so the fruit that he has, the love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control, and faith, guess what? We got them too. They may not be as well developed as we'd like for them to at times, but we still got them. And it's up to us to develop those fruit as we yield to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know, we look with great anticipation, don't we, to go to heaven. I mean, that's journey's end. But you know, we can enjoy heaven on earth when we do what this scripture tells us, when we're attached to him and let his fruit flow through us. Then we experience a piece of heaven here on this earth, on the inside. Physically we don't, because all around us is what? Is sin. It's temptation. All those things that try to drag us down. But we realize that we still experience a piece of heaven here on earth. How do we accomplish that? Well, he tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we yield our bodies to him, remain a holy body that he can use, then what does he do? He works his will through us. Jesus Christ is not here physically on this earth today, but his church is. And his church is doing his will on earth. It may not seem like it sometime, but it is. If you were to remove the church right now, you would see the world as it really is. But there's something withholding right now, and it's the Holy Spirit in the church that is holding back much of what would be happening if we were not here. So thank God that the church is here. You know, I was on my way to the hospital one morning, and I turned off on this road, and there's a concrete truck right in front of me. And it was a hill, and it had double yellow lines on it, and he was running about 10 miles an hour. And here I am behind him, and I'm thinking there's no way around him. I can't do anything but sit here behind this guy and just ride it out. And you know what? I was surprised, but I didn't get impatient. And usually I would have, but I didn't. I just said, well, Lord, you must have a reason for this. I don't know what it is, but I'm poking along behind that concrete truck. And finally, after a while, it opens up to 4-lane. I was able to get around him. And I pull up to the hospital, and I get out of my car, and I start walking up. And a guy almost runs over to me. He said, "Hey, man, how are you doing today?" And I said, "I'm doing good, doing great." He said, "You know what? I used to be homeless. I didn't have a dime to my name. I lived on the street. But you know what happened? Jesus saved me. And look at me now. I got a vehicle. I got money. I got a place to live. Ain't God good?" I said, "Yes, he sure is." And man, I tell you what, I don't know what I had that day, but that guy like started me off on the right track. And I thought, a concrete truck stopped me and slowed me down so I would meet that guy. Because it's like he was waiting for me. As soon as I got out, here he came walking over to me and started talking to me. Like he knew me, but I'd never met him before. And yet it was like God put him in my life. Amen. Just to show what God had done in a man's life who had been homeless. And yet he turned to God, and God changed his life completely. And he had the joy of the Lord just running over him. I mean, he couldn't contain it. He had so much joy. And you know what? It changed my day. But I knew God had put him there, and he had even allowed a truck to slow me down so that I wouldn't miss the meeting. So a lot of times, you know, that stoplight or whatever, that person cuts in front of you, slows you down, you never know. God could be keeping you from an accident. He may want you to meet somebody that ordinarily you wouldn't meet him. So isn't it good to not be impatient, but to be patient with the Lord and just say, "Lord, what you got up your sleeve today? I know something's going on because this ain't right." And a lot of times God is illogical, right, instead of logical. So learning to wait on the Lord is very important for the believer. And see, the joy that that guy had, you know what? Every one of us ought to have it. Because can you think of a better reason to have joy than to know the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, and know that you have eternal life, and that you got a piece of heaven here on earth? I can't think of anything else that could bring joy like that. It's to know that I was a brand plucked from the fire. I was about to go into hell's fire, and Jesus plucked me right out. Said, "Not this boy. He's going to be one of mine." So I've got so much to be thankful for, so much joy that I have in my heart because I know the one that cared enough and loved me enough that he made sure that I didn't go to hell's fire. You know, we got a lot to rejoice about this morning in this place. And you know what you're feeling in your heart right now? You ain't going to get out there doing the way the world does. You get it in God's house. You get it in prayer. You get it by studying the Word of God. You get it in a relationship that you have with the one who is going to live forever in eternity, and you're going to be by his side. Because he says in Thessalonians, we will never leave his side. Once we come, he comes and we join together with him. If you have lost your joy, the joy of the Lord, think back to where you lost it. If you can, try to remember when you had joy and then when did you lose it. Maybe someone treated you unjustly. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a sin that continues to reoccur. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Or maybe it is just worry. Remember, through repentance, we're able to come to a place where we can get that joy back. Remember, through prayer, it's so important that we pray to God when we've lost that joy, that, "Lord, reveal to me why I don't have the joy of the Lord anymore. Because I want to know." He said, if you ask, you receive, right? So if you pray and ask God to reveal why your joy is not there, and if you have some of these things going on that I mentioned, then address that immediately. It may be that you have to repent about a sin that you just can't seem to get out of your life. It keeps coming back. And ask the Lord to give you the strength to overcome whatever that sin may be. Maybe that you say something about somebody that you shouldn't be talking about. You know, gossiping is something we shouldn't be doing, right? I know one of the things that I'm working on in my life, have been for about a year and a half now, is not to criticize, not to complain, not to condemn, but instead to pray for that person. And you lift them up in prayer, I will guarantee you, you won't criticize them. You won't complain about them. You won't condemn them. And there's no way you can hold something against somebody that's done something against you if you're praying for them. I know because it's happened in my life. When I started praying for them, I felt different about them. And I realized there was something in their life that they needed to deal with. And Lord, don't let me add to their load. They got enough going on with me being unforgiving toward them. And God will change our heart, and the joy will come back when we're able to forgive and move on. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious, worried, doubtful, or fearful. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And you know what? This is one of those scriptures. If you don't have it marked in your Bible and you do mark in your Bible, this is a good one to put down, these two verses, 6 and 7, to go back to daily. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's two scriptures there that need to be imprinted in our mind that we can memorize those and quote them daily because they're so helpful. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or moral excellency, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And that's something that Paul the Apostle could say that, isn't it? Those things you've seen in me, do. And the God of peace be with you. Can we say that this morning? Can you tell someone the same thing? After reading verse 8, can you say, just do as I do? You know what? We should be able to say that. Every believer in Christ should come to the point where you could tell, and not pride, because it's Christ in us that gives us the ability to not do these things and to do those things. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And of course that famous 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? He didn't say you'll be able to do almost everything, but he said everything through him. Paul was an apostle, but he was also a human being. But he learned. Because of his spiritual state, he was able to be content in his physical state. And that should be true for us also. I don't know what you're facing right now, what you've been facing, what you're going through right now. But you know what? You can be content in it because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll be able to face whatever it is. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what that way of escape is? As Jesus told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he won't put anything more on us than we can bear with his help. But he'll be right there for us. And there are some examples sitting in this place today that can testify to that. That he was there through all their suffering. Right there all the time. Never left. Just like David Livingstone. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Of all the people in the world, I really believe today we ought to be the happiest. We ought to be the most joyful because we know who our Redeemer is. We know where we're going. We're not fearful of death because we know when we leave here, we're going to a better place. When my son was small, he was probably 4, 5, 6 years old. We'd go somewhere and come back and he'd be asleep. Back then, they didn't have the carriage and all. He'd be sleeping in the back seat And I'd just pick him up, start carrying him in. And sometimes he would just open that eye, you know, and look up. And he'd see me and he'd just go back to sleep. You know why he did that? Because he knew who had him. He knew that Daddy wasn't going to drop him. He knew that Daddy would be careful with him. Now, if he'd opened that eye and saw a stranger, he'd have come out of them arms if he could have. But he saw Daddy. He knew he was okay. And you know what John 10:28 says? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. You know, a lot of times when we're going through something, if we just remember, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. To know who's holding us. And nobody can pluck us out of his hand. Just like my son, he was secure. He knew his daddy had him. He was fine. Well, you know what? My daddy's got me too. And you know what? I'm going to be fine. No matter what happens. And you know what? Every believer in here today is the same way. You don't have nothing to fear. You have victory in your life because he gave you the victory. He is victorious. He's the victor. And you're going to be victorious. When it looks the bleakest, just look to him. The one that gave you eternal life and the one that's going to see you through it. I am confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. He's going to complete it. We're in a yoke with him. He's the strong one in the yoke. And he's going to see to it that we finish the trip. So I don't know what you might have come in here with today. Leave it right here, whatever it is. If you were troubled about something, if you were overwhelmed about something, don't take it back out that door with you. Leave it right here. Give it to the Lord, because you know what? He can handle it. You can't. I can't. But he can. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Take that home with you. Instead of what you brought in, leave that here at the altar and take that back home with you. And the joy of the Lord, may it go with you today. And you sense his presence, his love, and know that you have the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for these that have come. And Lord, we know one day, as the Apostle Paul stated, he had fought the good fight, finished the course, and he had kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, gave to him. And not to him only, but all those that love his appearing. And Lord, we love your appearing. And Lord, we know that we also have a fight to fight. Help us to keep the faith and to finish our course, Lord. May we not look for happiness on this earth, Lord. But Lord, may we finish the work that you have given us to do, whatever it might be. We have one path, Lord, to follow, and that is you. And Lord, help us to continually follow your footprints, Lord, all the way. And yes, there'll be hills, there'll be valleys, there'll be curves. But Lord, just like a shepherd leading his sheep, we know who our shepherd is. And we know, Father, that we do not want, because you have filled us, Lord, with your presence, with your knowledge. And we know, Lord, that we're going to finish the trip because of you. The shepherd is not going to lose, not even one. That's what you said. You left the 99 and went after the one. And you're not going to lose one on the journey. Lord, touch these today. I pray if there is one here that doesn't know you today, Father, they don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about the joy of the Lord. But they do know that they have been chasing something they can't catch. And I pray today, Lord, they would ask you to come into their heart and to save them and give them eternal life as they repent of all their sins. We know that you will forgive them, because you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You don't even want one. And if there is one in here today that doesn't know you, I pray that they'll pray that prayer and that they might be saved and have eternal life. That you give them the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome their sin nature, the evil one and the worldly influence, that they might know you and the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray everyone here will just ask the Holy Spirit to help you through the coming week. And remember these that we prayed for today. Continue to pray for them, each and every one. There's some in here that need God to do something in their life physically to help them through their illness. And may we pray for one another. Pray for strength and encouragement for one another. We're facing things today that I don't believe any other generation has faced, because we see our country that is spiraling downhill. Pray for our country, our president, and also for one another, and that souls will be saved, and that God would give you the boldness to tell people about Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. Lord, be with y'all. Love y'all. So good to be here today, and let's keep Brother Dale and Tina in our prayers for a safe return. Amen. God bless.